Well, it's a joy to be back in the tabernacle tonight on this cool, rainy night. And I appreciate the good rain, appreciate the good, cool temperatures, and just thank the Lord for it. Amen. Might have a little blowing rain. I was telling one of the preachers, I lived through a tent meeting, and I say that seriously. I lived through a tent meeting one time. I was preaching a tent meeting in Jefferson, North Carolina, put on by two or three churches come together and some young preachers that were having this thing. And one night we were calling for severe storms to come through our area, but it appeared that they would miss that area, so they went ahead that night with the meeting. And when we got there, the tent meeting, they were a little bit concerned. They said, you know, it looks like the storms might pass by us, but they were kind of sporadic. And they said, we believe we'll be all right to just go ahead and have it in the tent. They had contingency plans to move it into another church that was close by. But we went ahead and got in the tent, and we got in there, and they began to sing the congregational songs, and it got to storming very badly. Well, the problem with that was they looked around. They said, we ought to just dismiss right now, but the fact is it was so bad outside we couldn't leave the tent. And we weathered about 15 minutes of a brutal storm as the choir was trying to sing and lightning striking and all kinds of things like that. And we got metal poles sticking up in the air and everybody's sitting in metal chairs. Water on the ground. And in a little while they handed me the wireless mic and told me to preach. And lightning striking. I mean, we couldn't get out. I figured we're going to die. We might as well die worshiping the Lord. And literally, after that was over with, one of the preachers had some T-shirts made up, said, I survived the tent meeting of such and such year. And so this is nothing compared to what I've been through. Praise the Lord. Amen. I trust the Lord to help us. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. 2 Corinthians, I hope you can hear me good. I know with the rain sometimes that makes it a little difficult to hear, but I'll try to speak up so you can hear me. I had a lady one time, I was preaching a meeting somewhere, standing at the back door shaking hands as they were going out, and a lady walked up to me, and all she said was, she grabbed me by the hand, shook my hand, and said, you have a big mouth. She literally said that. I agreed with her. I said, you're right. God gave it to me, though, and I'm going to use it for Him. Hallelujah. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and I want to start reading in verse number 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the suffering, so shall ye be also of the consolation. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that He will yet deliver us. Father, we thank You for the reading of Your Word, and Lord, I ask You tonight that You would empower us as we stand before this people. God, that You might help somebody here in this meeting. Lord, only You know the varying needs that are here. Only You know the varying trials that may be besetting Your children here tonight in this tabernacle. Father, there may be somebody here that feels much like the Apostle Paul did when he said he was pressed out of measure. And Father, I pray that tonight, if there's someone here tonight that the stresses of life and the pressures of life and the troubles of life have just about drained them of their joy, Lord, I pray that tonight would you help them through your word. God, I pray that you'd take the word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit and encourage their heart tonight in this place. And God, we're going to give you praise for all you do, for it's in the name of Jesus we pray and we ask it, amen and amen. Here in the Word of God, the Apostle Paul is writing concerning the fact that God is a great comfort to His people. The Bible, of course, we know that. He talked about there in verse number 3. He said, Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort. I'm glad that He is a God that in the most difficult times of life, in the most despair-filled times of our life, I'm glad that He is a God of comfort. There are times that men may try to comfort. There are times that even we as preachers, we try to comfort someone in their difficulties. But the fact of the matter is, the greatest comfort that we have is in Christ Jesus Himself. And I begin to think about Paul, comes on down and he begins to share about a trouble that came his way, a situation. If you read after different commentators, some have different opinions on what Paul was talking about here. But Paul makes this statement down there in verse number 8. He says this, "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life." The Apostle Paul said this. He said, "There was a trouble that came my way. There was a situation that came my way that pressed us out of measure." And he makes the statement, above strength. He said, it was almost more than we had the ability to bear. Matter of fact, he said, it got so bad that we despaired even of life. Paul said, we didn't think we was going to make it through it. I don't know what you may be facing tonight, but you may be here much like the Apostle Paul, and you may feel as though you've been pressed out of measure. You see, Paul talked about this trouble, and he made this statement about it. He said, the trouble came to him. Not a one of you got up this morning looking for the enemy. Not a one of you got up and said, I'm going to pick a fight with the devil today. Ain't a one of you, if you're in your right mind, made a statement like that today. But I promise you, you don't have to go looking for troubles. They will come looking for you. The Bible tells us, Job said, that man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. And we all know that this life is filled with troubles. And sometimes they're so severe that we feel much like the Apostle Paul did in the fact that he said we were pressed out of measures. He said, above strength, Paul said, this trouble was such that we did not think we had the ability to bear what we were going through. I know sometimes we get to thinking about ourselves and we think we're pretty strong spiritually, and we'll see others going through difficulties and we'll get up on our high horse and we'll make an assessment of their actions in the midst of their struggles, when all the while you don't really know what you'll do till you're walking in their shoes. I've seen people do things and I thought, man, I don't know if I'd do just like that in that trouble. But the fact of the matter is, I'd never been in that trouble. I'd never been in their place. So don't be too quick to judge someone that's in a great problem or a great trial or a great distress, because until you're there, you don't know how you'll react either. Amen. I've seen some of the greatest children of God. I'm talking about saints of God that I had the utmost confidence in. But there's a point that every one of us will reach a limit that we're able to bear. Paul said we were pressed out of measure above strength. Paul was made conscious that he had a limit to what he could handle. And let me tell you something. Every one of us has a limit. Every one of us has a breaking point. And don't ever think you don't, because God might allow something to come just to show you that we're not really to trust in ourselves anyway.
It's not in us. It's not in my ability. It's not in my mind. It's not in my physical strength to bear it. But our trust is to be in Christ and in Christ alone. Hallelujah. I had a dear sister in my church. As a matter of fact, one of my little prayer warriors, a little shouting woman. I talked about her last night, or not for a guess, and she's in heaven now. But one of the godliest women I ever knew, and a prayer warrior of the first order. I'm talking about she knew how to ring the bells of heaven. And in our church, her son is in heaven now as well. He was the first deacon I ever put on as a deacon, as a young pastor. He's the first man I ever put on as a deacon. He was a good man, loved God, loved me, tried to help me as his pastor. But this little woman, of course, her and her son in the church, her son's a deacon, and this deacon had gotten, was having a problem with needing some dental work done, and he was about, I guess, in his late 40s, maybe early 50s, and he said he had to have a tooth cut out. And he'd had some heart problems in days gone by, and they'd put him on a blood thinner. And they told him, they said, now, listen, in order for us to get that tooth out, to cut it out, we're going to have to take you off your blood thinner for about a week and before we can do that, because if we do that surgery, you'll bleed to death. It won't stop bleeding. So they took him off his blood thinner, and we were waiting. We were praying for him, and, of course, mentioned him for prayer. And I'll never forget the Sunday night. We were there at church, and I could tell he didn't feel good. He was going like on Tuesday for the surgery, and it was Sunday night. And even after the service that night, we stood out in the parking lot. He stood there and held his little grandbaby in his arms, and we talked for a good while and fellowship. But I could tell he didn't feel good, but he knew he was close to getting that done, and he could get back on his medicine. On Monday morning, I was at home. I was in the bed. It was at about, 6:30. The phone rang, and it was this little woman I'm telling you about, and she called me. She said, "Preacher," said, "I hate to bother you early, but said, if you would pray for Jim," said, "I think they're going to have to take him to the hospital." Well, I didn't know what was going on, and so I said, "All right, I will." And so I just laid the phone back up, and in about 5 minutes, I got another phone call. And it was, when I picked it up on the other end of the line, and there was somebody weeping uncontrollably. I couldn't understand what they were saying. And it was this this deacon's son. And all I could hear him uttering was the word, "Preacher, you got to come. My dad's dead. My dad's dead." And I my heart was just ripped out. I didn't know what had happened. And I said, "I'll be right there." And I got in my car and I went down. I got to the house. Of course, I loved these people. They were precious to me. When I got there, his wife, she was overcome with grief, and his son was overcome with grief, and I mean, the family just devastated on a Monday morning at that time of day. And this deacon had died in his sleep, where they'd taken him off the blood thinner, and apparently he'd had a heart attack or a severe stroke, and anyway, he died in his sleep, and they had found him. And I'll never forget that morning. I mean, that's a next time you think your preacher makes too much money, you think about that on a Monday morning when you got to get up and look death in the eye first thing and try to comfort a family. There ain't enough money to pay you to do that, friend. But let me tell you something right now. But anyway, I was there with this deacon's brother. He came and he looked at me, and this is a statement he made. He said, "Preacher, would you go over with me to tell Mom?" I'm talking about my little prayer warrior lady. I'm talking about my little encourager, my little saint that shouts. I said, "Yeah, I'll go with you." And we got over to the house. I'll never forget that morning. I was dreading walking through the door. When we walked through the door, see, she didn't know he had died. She just thought they were taking him to the hospital, but I could hear her in there on the couch praying. As we walked through the door, we never said a word, but when she saw me and she saw her other son, she began to cry, and she said, "He's gone." She said, "He's gone," and she began to cry, and I'll never forget this as long as I live. This little godly saint of God, this little prayer warrior, this little shouter, all of a sudden she just lifted up her hands and she began to wail, and she began to say, "Oh God, why have you let me down? God, why have you failed me? Oh God, why have you let me down?" My heart was so broken, I didn't know what to say to her. her. I just went over and I just hugged her and I said, sis, I said, he's not let you down. I said, he's here with you. She said, God, you've let me down. You've let me down, God. She just kept saying that. And we comforted her the best we could. We went through the process of the funeral and the days and finally the burial. And I'll never forget this. It was about 2 weeks later. She had come to church and it just seemed like she was emptied out. It seemed like there was nothing left in her. And she walked up to me and she said, preacher, she said, I wanted to ask you, she said, would you care if I testify today? I said, no, sis, I'd be happy for you to. She said, I need to apologize to the church. And she said, I need to apologize to you. She said, that day when you came and told me that my son was dead, she said, I cried out that God had let me down. But she said, preacher, God ain't never let me down. I said, God ain't never failed me. And she said, preacher, in my weak moment, she said, I said something that wasn't right. And she said, I want to apologize to the church and I want to apologize to you. I got to thinking, every one of us may reach a point that we might be the one saying, God, you've let me down. But the fact of the matter is, I'm glad he's a God of all comfort in our time of struggle. Amen. Paul said it pressed him out of measure. It was a trouble that changed Paul. When something is pressed out of measure, it don't look the same as it did when it went through the trial. I began to think about that and I said, Lord, there's a lot of times we go through trials that when we come out on the other side, we're different than what we were when we went in. Can I say that? I began to think about that and I said, Lord, there has to be some practical illustration that I could use to talk about this truth. I'm preaching on this thought tonight on when the troubles of life have pressed you out of measure, when the troubles of life have put the squeeze on you. Every one of us are going to face troubles that will affect us. Every one of us are going to face trials that will change us. Every one of us are going to have trials that may get to the point we feel like we won't survive, but through it all, God shows Himself to be faithful and God gives us His strength. I was at the house one day and I looked and there was an illustration. I said, I feel just like that right there. And matter of fact, I brought it with me tonight. It's in my pocket. And everybody here is going to be able to identify. I found something that could identify with having the squeeze put on it. I found something that every day it gets squeezed a little bit until finally it's just emptied out. And I brought it with me tonight. It's an empty tube of toothpaste. I thought about that old tube of toothpaste. It looks a lot different than it did when it first came into my house. When it came there, first of all, it was full, shiny, and new. Now, Brother Jarvis, when you look at it, it's much different than what it was when it came into my house. And you know the reason for that is that every day, little by little, there's been some pressure put on it. Every day, little by little, there's a little bit more been squeezed out of it. Every day it seems like, I can imagine being that old toothpaste tube, and you're thinking, boy, I wish it let up on me today. But no, every day, sometimes two and three times a day, somebody done grabbed him up, went to squeezing on him, and just emptied him out of everything it seemed like that he had on the inside. Can I say to you, sometimes, as a child of God, when you go through the troubles of life, you feel much like this old tube of toothpaste. I mean, this old fella is empty on the inside. Boy, I tell you, there's no worse feeling than when the troubles of life have left you feeling empty on the inside. I mean, everybody else around you is shouting and everybody else is enjoying the service and you're sitting there and you're as holler on the inside as you can be, because every day of your life you face some pressure. Every day of your life you face a struggle. Every day of your life it seems like something is being drained out of you. And boy, I tell you, sometimes you can get to the point you feel like you can't bear it anymore. Isn't it good to know when you feel like that, that you have a God that is a God of all comfort. Hallelujah. I'm glad He's a God that'll help you. I've often thought about these families who have a sick loved one that has been sick for years, and they've had to care for them, and every day the struggle of that one that they love to see them in a sick state and to see them unable to take care of themselves. Every day, while everybody else is going about their normal activities, many times the loneliness and the discouragement that they face, and sometimes they feel like this old thing right here, he's been drained, he's been emptied, and he's as flat as he could be. That's exactly what the enemy wants to do to you through your trials. He wants to get you so flat that you can't enjoy the things of God. He wants to get you to the point that you're so, you're just so devoid of all joy and all fullness of God that you can't enjoy what God has for you. But I'm here to tell you, praise God, there's a God that whenever you feel like you've been emptied and you're not worth anything anymore, I'm glad there's a God that still loves you, and He is a God of all comfort. Amen. When I look at this thing right here, I said, well, he's empty, he's drained, he's flat, and most people say ain't good enough for nothing now but to be thrown in the garbage. But I believe I could make a legitimate argument to you tonight that now in his current state, he's being used for a higher purpose. Amen. Than he ever was even intended to be. Hallelujah. I imagine when they fill this tube up at the Crest Company, they thought they were just filling something up that's going to help somebody smile for a little while. But what they didn't know was that this individual tube right here had a purpose that God had ordained it for. Hallelujah. I mean, there was a purpose that once it got emptied of all itself, then God said, I've got a purpose to use you for. Can I say to you, sometimes the trials of life empty us of ourselves so that God can help us understand His higher purpose for our life. Hallelujah to His name. I'm here to tell you, I'm glad there's a God. You may feel like you're flat as a flitter tonight. You may feel like you ain't got nothing left to give. You may feel like you just feel like throw up your hands and quit. But I'm here to tell you tonight, God has a higher purpose, amen, in your life, and He's accomplished it through the trials, amen. Oh yeah. You say, preacher, what should I remember when the trials of life have put the squeeze on me? Just remember this: when the pressure gets so much, find your place of calm. You see, I'm glad that we as God's people, no matter how much the pressure may be, no matter how bad the trial may be, I'm glad because He is a God of comfort, He will provide a place of calm. It may be when you find yourself in the place of prayer. I like that old song, sweet air of prayer that calls me from a world of care. I like that old song, I may have doubts and fears, my eyes be filled with tears, but Jesus is a friend who watches day and night. I go to Him in prayer and He knows my every care, and just a little talk with Jesus makes it right. Aren't you glad tonight that when the troubles of life have put the squeeze on you, I'm glad there's a place we can go to, and I'm glad He'll help us in the struggles of life. Amen. Find your place of calm. Sometime that calm will be found in one of them, I call them God moments. When you're losing your mind and the storm's raging all around you, in some little thing that God does, and all of a sudden He snaps you back to reality and tells you, I got it all under control. I thought about that over there where Elijah was, the rain was coming. He was praying about the rain. And that servant kept going to the top of the hill. He went 7 times, I believe it was. He said, ain't nothing yet. And then all of a sudden he come back and he said, there's a cloud. Looked like a man's hand coming up out there. Now why in the world would the Holy Ghost compare that cloud to a hand? God could have compared it to anything. He could have said it looks like a donkey. It looks like an elephant. But he said it's like a man's hand. It's just a little cloud. Like a man's hand. They've had 3-year drought. Things is bad. People are dying. People are hurting. And all of a sudden, I kind of figure out what happened there. He said, it looks like a man's hand. I could see it as he crossed up over the ridge. It's like that hand was saying, I got this. I got this, hallelujah. Aren't you glad we serve a God that can give you one of them little God moments, amen, in the struggles of life and help you, hallelujah. I had one of them last year. I was in Georgia preaching. I had preached on Monday and Tuesday over on the east side of Atlanta, over in Lawrenceville area for Brother Kenny Kuykendall, and I was to go over on Thursday night to Powder Springs on the western side. I hate driving through Atlanta. If you're not saved, you will get saved going through Atlanta. That traffic, them people are nuts down there, every one of them. And I'm telling you one thing right now, so I hate driving through Atlanta, but I had to do it. I was by myself, and I preached, and I got over there, and I said, you know what, I'm not going to go back through there after I preach over here. I'm going to go back through Chattanooga and Knoxville and go back home that way. And anyway, I did that, and I was headed home after I'd preached on Thursday night. I was wore out, weary, by myself, and I knew the way home and everything, but I got up there on I-40 just outside of Pigeon Forge, Tennessee, and man, I was making good time. I was getting ready to be home to see Mama pretty soon, and all of a sudden I looked up, and it was like 3 lanes wide. As far as I could see was tail lights, brake lights, and that ain't good on the interstate. As far as I could see, I could see a long way. It was 3 wide, and they were at a complete stop on I-40. Well, I'm already wore out, weary. I've been preaching, been having to stay away from home, and I'll be honest with you, I was aggravated, frustrated, and I'll be honest with you, I was just about to my breaking point. And I saw that, and I'm sitting there in that traffic jam, and I called my wife like she could do anything about it. She said, "What? Hello?" I said, "You ain't going to believe where I'm at." She said, "Where are you at?" I said, "I'm sitting in a traffic jam on I-40 at a dead standstill." I said, "As far as I can see, it's 3 lanes wide with brake lights." I said, "This ain't good." And man, I was aggravated, frustrated. She said, "Well, honey," she said, "hey, I wish there's something I could do to help you." I said, "I wish there was too. But you can't." But I just needed somebody to vent to a little bit. And so after I got done venting, I hung up the phone, and man, I sat there. We moved about 50 feet in about 30 minutes. And I was getting hot under the collar. I was getting more aggravated. I called her again. I said, "You ain't going to believe this. I've moved about 50 feet in 30 minutes. And I'll be honest with you, I'm losing my mind. I'm having a severe case of road rage." Now, don't look at me spiritual like you ain't never got aggravated on the road. Straighten your halo up. Your horns has got it sitting crooked on your head, amen. Here I am, aggravated, frustrated, and if I could have got off of there, I'd have found me a road somewhere, but I couldn't move. And I'm sitting there fuming, I'm talking under my breath, and you know how it is, you're just grumbling and griping, and then all of a sudden, have you ever got the feeling that somebody was watching you? That day, all of a sudden, I just got this keen awareness that somebody was looking at me. And I'm sitting there, I'm in 3 lanes of traffic, and the car beside me had pulled up just enough till I could see in the back seat. And in the back seat of that car was the prettiest little old, looked like about 3-year-old little girl in a car seat. And that little old baby was staring right at me, smiling the biggest smile you've ever seen. And when I turned and looked at it, and I mean, it looked me straight in the eye, that little old baby lifted its hand and went. And about that moment, it was one of them God moments. Hearing my frustration, hearing my aggravation, All of a sudden I look over and there's a little thing waving its hand at me. I said, God, I believe it's going to be all right. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad we serve a God when you've been emptied out and the pressures of life have put the squeeze on you? I'm glad we serve a God that's able to help you find your place of calm. Amen.
Number two, find your place of calm. Number two, learn to cooperate with the circumstances of life that you can't change. You know what's killing most of us? Worrying about stuff that we don't have the ability to change anyway. There's some stuff just going to happen whether you want it to or whether you don't.
And the hardest place you'll ever get to is when you're trying to change that you don't have the power or the ability to change.
And that pressure will come. I like that little old serenity prayer. As a matter of fact, I wrote it down. Some of y'all have heard it. It said, Lord, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things that I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Can I say to you, a long time ago as a pastor, I figured out, it didn't take me long as a pastor to figure out, hey, some church folk, you ain't going to change. You might as well quit trying. You ain't going to change them. You ain't going to change them. And the fact of the matter is, it'll kill you until you get to understanding. You ain't going to change them. And you put it in God's hand and let God handle it and let God do His will. Sometimes, I'm telling you what, those things you can't change. I'm glad in the midst of our struggles that there's a God, when we can't change our situation, I'm glad we got a friend that loves us and He wants to help us. Back in February, me and my wife was going through some low time. We was facing some issues that was coming, not with the church, but just some personal issues and things that just had us real discouraged. I'll be honest with you now, and I know that knocks your hat in the creek that a preacher and his wife would get discouraged. But you see, I'm just one that's honest enough to tell you I was. Most preachers, they get discouraged a whole lot, but they can't let nobody know it. Because people are looking at you, and if you're their leader and you're discouraged, they're going to be discouraged. So many times when you're so low, you can't hardly pick your chin up. You've got to come in and put a happy face on. And you can't show it. But we were battling through some things, just some disappointments that had come our way. I'll be honest with you, it was as low as we had been in a long, long time. I was scheduled to preach in Atlanta, Georgia. And matter of fact, this was when the ice storm hit Atlanta. I was scheduled 3 nights. We got 1 night of the meeting in, and the ice storm Armageddon hit and locked that place down. Them people can't drive on dry roads. Amen. And you give a little bit of skiff and a snow and ice, and it shuts the whole city down. I mean, they're praise God, they're sleeping in grocery stores, running out of gas on the interstate. I mean, that day I went to a convenience store and everybody's talking about, you heard we're going to get a little bit of snow, going to get some snow. I said, yeah, I heard that. Fellow said, you ain't from around here, are you? I said, no. He said, where are you from? I said, the mountains. He said, oh. You're probably laughing at us. I said, you mighty right, I'm laughing at you. We don't measure snow like this. We measure it in feet. But here we are stuck in a hotel room for 2 days. Couldn't go anywhere, so discouraged that I couldn't hold my head up. Couldn't sleep at night. And I was laying there in the bed at 2 o'clock in the morning. My wife was asleep. Laying there at 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm talking about the pressing that was taking place. 2 o'clock in the morning, I'm the kind of person whenever I'm going through something. My wife's different. She don't like to talk about it. She deals with it that way. But I'm the type of person, if I can talk about it, and most of the time, my therapy is when I go to writing a song about it. That's my therapy. And I'll be honest with you, this is a song that I've wrote that my wife, she told me, she said, I can't sing it just yet. So when we recorded it, she didn't sing on it.
Now, don't you tell her I told you that. We're going to be here. She's going to come Saturday night, and we'll sing it for you. But it's such a deep hurt that she couldn't. She said, I don't know if I can sing it. I said, I understand, honey. You don't have to. I said, I'll sing it. And I got up and went into the restroom of that motel room that night, and I was trying to think of words to describe how I felt. And the first line, I started it out, and this is a song I wrote. Matter of fact, Inspirations have just recorded this song. I believe God may use it to help some people. The song goes like this. When the hurt goes deeper than the deepest place your heart has ever known, when you're standing in your darkest trial and it seems as though you're standing all alone, when the tears flow down like bitter rain and you're wondering if the sun will shine again, in the midst of disappointment, look around, you'll find a faithful friend. He's walked through my darkest valleys, shining light upon the lily by the way. He has picked me up and held me when I thought I could not face another day. And when my heart had stopped its singing and my mind was simply searching for an end, I can tell you by experience, I found a faithful friend. I'm glad, hallelujah. I'm glad he's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. I'm glad, praise God, when the pressures of life have emptied you out, I'm glad you'll look around and there'll be Jesus, hallelujah. Aren't you glad tonight, amen? When the pressures of life have put the squeeze on you, find your place of calm. Cooperate with those things that you can't change. And then number three, use that as an opportunity to comfort somebody else in their trouble. Paul said, we were pressed out of measure. He said, I've been put through it. But Paul said, you know what? I've come through it. And now God's going to let me comfort others with the comfort that I've been comforted with. Hallelujah. Some of you said, I don't understand why I've had to go through what I've got go through. God's had you in school and He's getting ready to use you to help somebody else now. Well, you can't really help nobody if you don't know where they've been. You can't really help them if you've never walked in their shoes. But thank God for those who've been down through the fiery trials and those who've been through a low valley. You're going to find somebody in your path that's going to be in that valley too. And you can walk up, put your arm around them, say, friend, I know where you're at. And God help me and He'll help you. Amen. Aren't you glad we serve a God that is a God of all comfort? Amen. When the trials of life have pressed you out of me, I'm glad He's a God that will help you, praise God. See, as a matter of fact, this right here, when you, I got to look at this fella, he's flat. But I have a feeling he's happy like this now. Because guess what? I ain't squeezing him no more. So look up, weary pilgrim. There's going to come a point that there won't be no pressures much left on you. I mean, you done come through the fire. You done come through the flood. And you come out standing for God. Hallelujah to His name. Ain't nobody squeezing Him no more. Everybody just bragging on Him now. You look how God's using him now. Hallelujah. Matter of fact, I got to look at this. This is crass, but there's another word on there. Complete. Complete. Sometimes, that little song the young'uns used to sing, he's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. I mean, that song said he's still working on me. I know I hate to be the one knock your hat in the creek, But y'all ain't the finished product yet. He's still working on all of us. And it may be that the squeezing that's going on in their life is simply God allowing that work to take place, because there's going to come a day you're going to be complete. There's going to come a day when you're the product that God desires. You're the image of Christ. Hallelujah. You can identify with the sufferings of our Savior. Amen. Aren't you glad? Praise God for a God that cares enough about us to comfort us in our troubles. Hallelujah. Amen. If I'd have known this message or preached this good, I'd have got me an empty toothpaste tube a long time ago. Just remember this: when the trials of life and the troubles of life put the squeeze on you, put your confidence and trust in God. Paul said over there, and I'll read the verse, and I'm done with the message tonight. He said over there, in verse number 10, who delivered us from so great a death. That was a past deliverance. And he said, and doth deliver. That's present deliverance. And then he says, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Paul said we had this problem that we would not trust in ourselves, but that we should trust in the one that raiseth the dead. Amen. Can I say to you, every one of us tonight ought to put our confidence in the one that can raise the dead. Paul said we had the sentence of death. He said if we had died and it's God's will, he'd just raised us. Do you think death can defeat our Savior? Are you kidding me? He conquered death, hell, and the grave. Cook death's keys. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm glad he has victory tonight. And I don't know what you're going through, but I'm glad there's a God that when the trials of life have pressed you out of measure, I'm glad he's a God of all comfort. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. Lord, I pray that you take the message to the hearts of your people. God, there may be somebody here tonight. Lord, they feel like they've been squeezed on. They feel like the troubles and the trials and the pressures of life have just about emptied them. Lord, they feel tonight like they just need something. Lord, I pray that tonight you'd help them to see that higher purpose. God, I pray that you'd help them to see that you are a God of all comfort. God, I pray that you'd help them tonight, to give them strength. Help them, Lord, not to trust in themselves, but to trust in you who can raise the dead. And Father, we give you praise for all you've done. Help us now in this invitation. And God, we'll give you glory as we stand with our heads bowed as they get ready to sing. Whatever you've got, brother, let's sing tonight. If you're here tonight, God spoke to your heart tonight in the message. You need to pray. You might know somebody tonight that's being pressed out of measure. Go ahead. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. You're here tonight. You've got a burden on your heart for somebody. You're facing a difficulty in your life. Oh, you've been through those trials. You know what it is to be squeezed. You know what it is to be exhausted of everything that you've had. I wonder, anybody else tonight? Just come on tonight. If God's speaking to you, you need some help tonight. You need God to touch you tonight. I'm glad He'll help you. Don't know what your pressure is. Don't know what your problem is. But God does. And trust Him tonight. Now put your confidence in Him tonight. He's the one that can help you. That's right. That's right. Just come on. Let God help you tonight. Oh, yes. Just come on. Let God help you tonight. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, praise God. We will understand it. Hallelujah. Oh, thank God. Yes, Lord. Help us, Jesus. Oh, yes. Oh, God bless you tonight. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Help them now, Jesus. Oh, God, help them, Lord. Oh, Father, how we need you. Touch them now, God. Oh, yes. God's speaking to you tonight. You ought to step out. Bring it to Him tonight. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. Praise God. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. That's right. God, speak into your heart. Just come on tonight. Oh, yes. Help us, Lord. Anybody else? Anybody else tonight? That's right. Obey the Lord tonight. Be speaking to you. Give Him that problem tonight. Cast your care upon Him. Every care, three